To Acts chapter 17, in the Acts of the Apostles, the 17th chapter. And we'll commence our reading at verse number 1. And we'll read down the passage to verse number 15. Acts chapter 17, the verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. When they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honourable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 15, knowing the Lord will bless it for his name's sake this afternoon. We're going to turn again in the Scriptures to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we'll take our reading again from verse number 10 down to the end of verse 13. The Word of God says there, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honourable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also, and stirred up the people." Amen. And in our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. And let us come now, let us silence ourselves, let us unite together, and ask for the Lord's help as we come to the preaching of his word. Let us all pray, and let us all seek the Lord, that we would be blessed by him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee that again on this occasion we can turn to the Scriptures of truth. And we thank thee for the word of God. And we thank thee we have it in our own language, that we can read it, we can understand it. We thank thee for thy Spirit, who teaches us the Scriptures, who applies the word of God to us, who opens our understanding. And we pray that this day our understanding would be opened. We would learn from thee. And we would see even in this passage of Scripture some things that are very significant to our attitude concerning the Word of God. Apply thy truth to each of us. We pray, Father, that thou wilt move in hearts and in lives, and give us that help that we need from thee. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. For many years, certainly centuries, preachers and proponents of the Word of God have laid down the importance of the New Testament church as a standard for us to learn from. The church has been exhorted to study the prayer life and the preaching, the government and the witness of the New Testament church in regard to using that as a model or a standard for us to learn. In the New Testament church, and we have seen this already, those of us who know the book of Acts well will know that in that particular book we see the commencement of the New Testament church. We see how the apostles obeyed the command of Christ, how they went out into all the world or all the known world at that time, and they preached the gospel of the kingdom. They faithfully engaged wholeheartedly in the work of the Lord. And we can certainly benefit from studying, and we have done, the Christ-centered preaching of the Apostle Paul as he travelled from city to city, bearing witness for his Saviour. He saw a great work done for the Lord, not because he was a charismatic or appealing preacher, not because he had an attractive personality, not because he used gimmicks or any other thing to draw people in. Certainly, he would have been an appealing preacher. We can understand that from the truths that he presented. Certainly, he may very well have had an attractive personality, but these were not the reasons that he had success in his service for Christ. There are many qualities that preachers have. And as you listen to different men, and as you hear of men, as you interact with men, you will see that different preachers have different personalities, different abilities, different traits, and that certainly is very obvious. And however, success in ministry is not based upon any of those things. It is not even based upon one being one of the best expositors of the Word of God in the world. It is based simply upon the working of God, the blessing of God, the power of the Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul had many great qualities that constitute a preacher of the gospel of Christ. But he had the most important quality. He knew the power and the blessing of the Spirit of God. And we can learn much from the New Testament church in their worship of God and in their preaching, their prayer, the unity that they had one with another. And that these are several components that are found lacking in many churches today. But I want you to notice the immediate background to our passage. The Apostle Paul had preached in Thessalonica, and as we considered last time, some of the Jews that heard him had believed in Christ. Others were saved as well. But those who did not believe turned against Paul and his company, and they then left and came to a place in verse 10 called Berea. And it is these events that took place in Berea that I want us to focus on this afternoon. Paul came to Berea, and I want you to notice here firstly the nobility of the Bereans, the nobility of the Bereans. Of course, when I came to this passage in the series that I'm doing, I have preached on this passage a number of times before. I preached on it back when I was in college. It was then given as a text in college for us to prepare an outline on. I didn't have to preach on that occasion, but that happens in the homiletics class. Everyone is given a text. You have to go home and prepare an outline or a rough draft of a sermon, and somebody has to then get up in class and preach on it, and they know a week in advance that they are preaching on that particular text. And then afterwards, everybody, well, they don't clap them on the back. They aim the shotguns at them, but in a constructive manner. Or certainly it ought to be. Certainly when I was there, there was much to discourage you, but there's also much to encourage you. And that is what the class is for encouragement and for learning. However, the passage came up there as well, and I did preach on this passage in Port Lincoln. I looked on sermon audio to see if I preached it here because I didn't keep a very good record. And there's no evidence that I could see that I've preached it here. I may very well have. But there are a number of different things that I want to say. We will be following a similar line to what I have done in the past. But there are a number of additional things that I want to bring in as well. And if we have covered some of these things in the past, if we have come to this passage, it may have been in the prayer meeting, it may not have been. It is good to come to a passage like this. I certainly think that verse 11 in particular, there are many things here that we can learn, many things that we ought to consider when we come to the Word of God. And coming to that verse time and time again can only do us good. I was reading an article this morning, and briefly, because I didn't have the time to sit and read the whole thing, but this verse was mentioned. The importance of looking at the Word of God, the importance of examining the Word of God. And certainly, it is a verse that must be at the center of our coming to the Word of God. But I want you to notice the nobility of the Bereans. In Berea, Paul entered again into the synagogue. We see that in verse 10, and he preached the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit moved there because we see in verse 12 that many souls were converted. And Luke quickly points out for us that between these Bereans and between the Thessalonians, whom Paul had just previously ministered to, there was a major distinction. There was no difference in their salvation because they were all saved or justified to the same extent, fallen completely through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the major difference that comes to our attention is their attitude and actions toward the Word of God. We see that in verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and this is the reason why. In that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They were more noble. This does not mean that the Jews here in Berea were more noble in regard to any particular category or class in society. They were not the nobility of Berea. They were not the lords and ladies of Berea, we could say. But rather, it refers to a spiritual morality. They were more noble in a moral sense. There was a desire for the Word of God. There was a desire to understand what Paul was teaching, to look at what the Word of God said concerning those things. And this word is used here to denote the noble behavior of those in Berea compared to those in Thessalonica who were antagonistic and showed much hatred toward the Word of God. And we see, firstly, in regard to their nobility, the reception of the Word, their reception of the Word of God. When Paul came to Berea to preach for the first time, these people had time to receive or to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. They were gathered in the synagogue, but they spent time hearing what Paul had to say. They went to hear him present Christ as the Messiah. And as a result, later on in verse 12, we see that many of them believed. And there was a willingness. There was a willingness to be under the preaching of the Word of God. That was what the synagogue was about. The worship of God, the expounding of Scripture, the reading of Scripture. And so they were going to hear the Word of God expounded. And Paul came and there was opportunity for him to preach. And they listened. They did not have to listen to Paul preach. They could have been as antagonistic as those in Thessalonica and in other places. They could have very well dragged him out of the city and stoned him yet again. But they listened to what had to be said. Paul was the instrument that God used, and the word of the Lord, the gospel of Christ, was presented through him. We ought to remember that when the preacher of the gospel of Christ comes to bring the word of God, it is not merely his message that he is proclaiming. It is the message that God has given him through prayer, through study, through the reading of Scripture, through the Lord opening the understanding, the preacher seeks the face of God for a word to bring to his people. And when we consider that ourselves as believers, when we consider what the preacher of the gospel of Christ actually does, is that not enough reason for us to willingly come to hear the word of God? Preaching is the means that God uses. Preachers are those men, those instruments whom God uses. And therefore, we should have a desire to attend the preaching of the word of God, to actually hear it, listen, and hearken unto it. There is a difference between hearing and listening. You may say, well, it's basically the same. But when we come to a passage such as this, when we come to the preaching of the word of God, it is not merely the same. Everyone is hearing what I am saying. I know, because some of you looked up. Everyone is hearing what I'm saying, but listening is something that is slightly different. We can hear in one ear and it can go right out the other, so the old saying goes. But when we listen, we actually take in what is being said. We're following what is being said. We're thinking upon what is being said. Many a time I've had things on my mind and somebody has spoken to me and I said, well, can you repeat that? The reason being that my mind was somewhere else. And, well, you may be thinking back to all those times I said, can you repeat that, please? And thinking, well, he wasn't listening at all. But many a time that has happened. And that is because you're hearing what the person is saying, but you're not actually understanding. You're not actually properly listening. You're not taking it in. And therefore, when you pick up a particular phrase and you're thinking, I better be listening to this, you ask them to repeat what they just said simply because you didn't hear or didn't listen properly the first time. And so we can hear the word of God. We can hear what is being said, but it can go in one ear and out the other. We can leave the house of God without really going away with what was being taught by the preacher. We can go away without really understanding what was being said simply because we didn't listen. We may have heard words, but those words did not find a resting place within us. And it is important to hear and to listen to the word of God. When we consider that it is the word of God, that is a real reason why we must listen. A real reason why we must listen. They listened because it was the word of God. Paul expounded the scriptures. And the scriptures ought to be treasured by the people of God because they are God's revelation to his people. The larger catechism says that the scriptures make known what God is, the persons in the Godhead, his decrees, and the execution of his decrees. The shorter catechism goes on to say the scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And those two particular catechism questions, the larger catechism, question 6, the shorter, question 3, give us the idea, the truth, that the word of God is something that is significant to us. The scriptures make known who God is. The scriptures teach us what we are to believe concerning God. We would not know anything of God except it be given to us in the scriptures. We can look around in creation and in natural revelation and we can see in the hand of God. Or rather, we can see the hand of some higher power at work. But we cannot, because of our sin and our fall, and certainly the doctrines concerning God's revelation to us, theology, are thrilling to read and to consider and to study. But when we look at creation, we cannot identify who God is because of our fallen state. We cannot understand. We can look and we can see and acknowledge there is a higher form. There is a God, but we cannot readily identify him. But when we come to the special revelation of God, the scriptures of truth, we can see that it was God who created the heaven and the earth. We can see that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We can understand that God created us in his image. We can understand that we fell into that estate of sin and misery, but how the Lord in mercy and grace sent his Son to be our Savior. And we can understand all those truths about God from the Scriptures. They are vital to us. And the Bereans recognized three characteristics, we could say, in the Word of God. They were Jews. They came from a religious background. There were many there who believed as well. There were those who were Greeks. But certainly there were many who were Jews. They believed the Scriptures were infallible. The Word of God was stable. The Word of God was certain. There were no mistakes. The Scriptures were inspired. They were God-breathed. The Scriptures are inerrant. There's no contradictions, no mistakes. They are perfect. They are consistent. And when we look at all those reasons, then, and there's much more could be said, the Scriptures are sufficient when it comes to salvation and informing us of the truths of God's Word. The Scriptures ought to be listened to. They ought to be read. They ought to be considered. They reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. Was George Swinnick one of the Puritans? The Word of God is a spring of living water, a deep mine of costly treasure, a table furnished with all sorts of food. That's what he said regarding the Scriptures. When we consider the reception we ought to give to the Word of God, do we really give the Scriptures the place that they deserve? There was a man many years ago, around 300 years ago. His name was John Craik. He was an Antrim man from Ireland at that time, or Northern Ireland today. And of course, being an Antrim man, well, that was good. Because originally, if you trace me back to where I first lived, well, I'm an Antrim man too. And so we have that in common. But he emigrated to the New World at that time of America in the early 1700s. He became a Presbyterian minister, and every Sunday he walked 5 miles to church, and then he walked 5 miles back. He carried his Bible in one hand and his rifle for protection in the other. All of the men of his congregation carried rifles in case Indians would attack. The service commenced at 10 in the morning. He preached until noon. Then for an hour they had their lunch. At 1 p.m., the same sermon resumed, and it continued till after sunset. Many have said that it was so dark by the time the service was over that the leader could not see the lines to sing the closing psalm or hymn. One of the sermons that have survived from this particular man had not 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 headings that are common today, but had somewhere in the region of 55 separate individual points that he wanted to make. I'm only at number 1. I have another 54 to go. Certainly, well, if I said that, you'd be wondering who's preaching in Lincoln tonight and in Lincoln next week and the week after, because I would still be going. But 55 headings. We can think today that that is a lot, and it is a lot. It was a sermon that certainly was spread throughout the day. But yet we can see in those people at that time, and that particular account was contained in a book on Southern Presbyterianism, printed by our Banner of the Banner of Truth Trust, and it records for us many of the things that happened in the early days of Presbyterianism in the land of America, in the United States. I read that book just before I went into college, and while there were lots of names and places and dates that didn't really make that much sense to me, there were little gems like that, little things that encouraged you, little things that men did that you can take away and certainly can thrill your soul. And that was one of those things. Those people had such a desire to hear the Word of God, yet today we rarely find the same thing. I'm not advocating that we preach all day in 55-point sermons. Certainly, from my perspective, I do not feel that preaching that long is beneficial. Certainly, there can be tiredness, not only on the preacher, but upon those in the congregation. And while we can have a desire to hear the word of God, sometimes a tiredness gets the better of us. Sometimes when we come to a particular passage, it is good to emphasize one particular thought so that we can concentrate on that, we can focus on that, we can take that away. We can come back later on. But in those days, that is what that particular man did. That was his style, and many others were the same. However, even today, many would say 10, 15 minutes is sufficient for preaching. We'll do everything else. We'll have testimonies and we'll have singing, but 15 minutes for preaching. These people in Berea had time for the word of God, not only being taught in the synagogue, but notice here that it says that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. When they were not in the synagogue, they were still spending time in the word of God. And we see here their diligence concerning the word. And that is something that is vital. The word of God, the reading of scripture, the studying of scripture is not something to be confined to a Sunday or to the Lord's Day or to the evening of the prayer meeting. The word of God and its place in the life of a believer is something that should be constant, something that should be a daily practice. And we see here that these Jews did that. They searched the scriptures daily. They had their reasons for doing so. And we'll come to that. But they spent time in the word of God. That is why they were noble. They heard what Paul preached. They went to the word of God. It says here that they received the word with all diligence. Or they received the word with all readiness of mind. And that simply means they were open to it. They were open to what the word of God said. There was a willingness to receive it. We can see here that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and it implies that perhaps there was some sort of preparation made for the receiving of the word of God. And preparation to receive God's word is something that is important. The Savior said in Luke 8, verse 18, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And it is important to take heed as to how we hear the word of God. As I've said, we can hear it, but we may not listen to it. We ought to take heed how we hear. Certainly, many of the Puritan preachers emphasized the importance of praying before going to the house of God to worship the Lord. They even advocated the heads of the household praying on the Sabbath morning that the Lord would bless the preaching of the word of God, not only the preacher, but for the entire family, that they would be blessed by the preaching of the word of God. The directory for worship in the Westminster Confession of Faith was put together by the Church of Scotland around that time, the 1640s. They certainly emphasized that, that families could come together and pray regarding public worship, praying that the Lord would bless these things. And so these Jews in Berea came with all readiness of mind. They had a diligence. They wanted to hear the word of God. Is that something that is found within us? When we come day by day to read the word of God, when we come to the house of God, do we have such a desire? Are we open and willing, like they were, to receive and to listen to the word of God? Notice here as well, they searched the word. They're searching of the word. They searched the scriptures daily. In verse 11, on the surface they had what we could call a time of daily devotion. There was that time in which they searched the scriptures. They had a particular purpose in mind, as we will see. But searching the scriptures daily, reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures is something that is very important to us. Something that is vital for our spiritual growth. They searched the scriptures whether those things were so. In the context of Berea, the Apostle Paul was preaching. He was preaching truths that they may not have heard before. He was preaching truths concerning Christ that were founded in the Old Testament. Remember that the Old Testament pointed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said those things in Luke 24, that the scriptures of the Old Testament teach things concerning himself. However, they came to the Word of God and they searched to verify that Paul was preaching the truth of God. The Greek word here that is translated search, it comes from the word to judge. And it can mean to examine, to investigate, to inquire into. And so when they opened the scriptures, and specifically here we'll look at what they had to say. We read the scriptures ourselves daily. We can investigate, we can examine. That is good. We should also come with the attitude of study and of learning and of devotion. And here specifically, though, there was this investigation into the Word of God. That is the context. And they examined the Word of God. They inquired into it to see whether what Paul taught was in line with what was found in the Word of God, or specifically the Old Testament scriptures. And when we consider a judgment, that is where the word comes from, the Greek word to judge. A judgment means an unbiased decision. That is not something we find very much of nowadays. Certainly, if a judge does their job correctly, there will be an unbiased decision. And when they came to the scriptures, there was to be here, and there was here, an unbiased searching of the scriptures. They didn't come with a particular doctrine. They didn't come with something on their mind and thought, well, I need the Word of God to teach this doctrine. And they searched the scriptures, or they pulled verses out of context to try and to point out that the particular viewpoint they had was in the Word of God. Yes, they were coming with what Paul was saying, but they were coming unbiasedly. They were not coming to prove Paul wrong and to twist the scriptures in that regard. They were not coming to prove Paul right and to twist the scriptures in that regard. They were coming to see what the Word of God taught itself. And there is a difference. When we come to the Word of God, we ought not to come with the theories of man. We ought to come unbiasedly and praying that the Lord, the Spirit of God, would open up the truth to us. Many of the things we consider in theology, many of the things that are taught by men are found in the Word of God. Certainly, many of the great truths of Scripture that are proclaimed, the doctrines of grace, are found in the Word of God. But there are many other things that men will preach and men will proclaim that are not found in the Word of God. And when I say theories of men, I do not mean the doctrines of justification or the doctrine of sanctification or the doctrines of grace or anything like that. Men have worked on those doctrines over the years in the sense of preaching them and presenting them and teaching them. But those doctrines have their basis in the scriptures. They're not the ideas of man. The ideas of man are things that men will present. Men will preach that have no founding in the Word of God. But when we come to the scriptures, we can read the Word of God and we can see what the truth is. And it is important, and the context here is that they were not taking Paul's word for granted. They were not saying that Paul was preaching the truth. We must believe this. And Paul was preaching the truth. They should believe it. Many did believe it. But they were discerning. They were discerning. In this case, they showed discernment with a preacher of the true gospel of Christ. But many a time, someone can come along and they can preach heresy, they can preach falsehood, and it is important to discern. It is important to understand what the scriptures say regarding those things. We do not come to the scriptures to try and twist them into promoting that particular heresy. We come unbiasedly. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? Many have a theological viewpoint on some particular issue. Others will have a viewpoint on another issue. And many have come to the Word of God. And if they come unbiasedly, and they can realize that their particular viewpoint at one end of the scale or at the other end of the scale isn't found in the Word of God. When they look at it unbiasedly, they see what the truth is. They don't come with their viewpoint and think, well, we have to twist this scripture to suit this viewpoint. They come unbiasedly. And that certainly is important. These people were discerning. These people were studiers of the Word of God. But what is important is that many of them were not even converted at this point in time. Notice what it says, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. Some may have been saved before they considered the scriptures in this way. Certainly some would have been saved after considering the scriptures in this way. But when we consider that there were those who were unsaved, engaging in such a profitable exercise, as coming to the Word of God with all readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily, does not put those who profess Christ to shame, those who do not do these things. Those who do not receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind, those who do not search the scriptures daily. When the unsaved did it in those days, and the Lord was working upon their hearts, does not put many Christians today who profess the name of Christ, does not put many to shame. There was a desire here for the scriptures. Desire here for the scriptures. Notice here, secondly, and we'll be brief because our time is gone, that when we consider what is being said here, the salvation of sinners is centered around the teaching of Scripture. The salvation of sinners is centered around the teaching of Scripture. And we see that. They came to the Word of God, they searched what the Scripture said, and as a result, verse 12, many of them believed. Many of them believed. The teaching or the salvation of Scripture is centered around the teaching of Scripture. If we turn to Luke 16, we'll just use this passage to emphasize this particular point without going into very much detail. That is a truth that we can all affirm, that the salvation of sinners is centered upon the teaching and instruction that is given from the Word of God. And we have here the account of Abraham and the rich man. The rich man has found himself in hell because of the way in which he lived his life without God. And he makes some requests, and his final two requests are joint. And he wants Lazarus to go to his brethren, his father's house, to warn his brethren about the wrath that is to come. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, and by what he is saying here, he is despising the word of God. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And what he is saying here is that Moses and the prophets, they have the prophets, they have Moses. Abraham is saying, that's enough for them. That is sufficient. The rich man in hell is saying, no, it's not. If there is this miracle, if Lazarus, whom they know, comes back from the dead, that will be enough for them to repent of their sin. He is despising the sufficiency of God's precious word in instructing sinners regarding their salvation. He is saying they don't need the word of God. They need this miracle to take place. Verse 31, and Abraham said unto him, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And he is emphasizing the scriptures are sufficient to inform men of their need of a Savior. And when we come back to Acts chapter 17, we see that. Paul preached the scriptures, they studied the scriptures, and they believed. The preaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, were the means that God used to inform them of their sin. They are the same means that can be used today. May we always stay firm, hold fast to the scriptures, as the way of instruction regarding salvation. Notice here, finally, the opposition to the missionaries. The opposition to the missionaries. We see this in verse number 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Something is significant here. The Jews at Thessalonica, we have already seen, were not noble. Were antagonistic against the word of God. Paul left because of them. When he came to Berea, the Jews there in the synagogue were of a different nature entirely. But now the Jews in Thessalonica, and we see here that they were very bitter against the word of God. They were antagonistic against the word of God. Verse 13 tells us that they heard what was taking place. They left their city. They went to the other city. And they stirred up trouble and stirred up the people against Paul and Silas. Such was their hatred. It wasn't enough to get Paul out of their city. They wanted to get him out of another city as well. Seldom is Paul without persecution, one commentator said. And that is true. There was much persecution for the Apostle Paul. Why did this happen? God was blessing and the devil was attacking. And when the word of God is preached in such a way, when sinners are reading the word of God, when sinners are being converted, even when the people of God will come to the scriptures with such an attitude as this, the devil viciously attacks. And this was a vicious attack. Thessalonica, the Jews there could not leave the Bereans alone. They had to come, they had to interfere, they had to oppose the word of God. An attack that did not come from within the city itself, it came from outside. And we see there the viciousness of the devil. And when God blesses, when families come together and consider the word of God in such a fashion as this, when individuals consider the word of God such as this, when churches take a stand for the truth of God, and verse 11 certainly can speak of the congregation of the church, it can speak of the spiritual life of the church, the devil will attack viciously. And that is something we must be on the guard for. That is something we must be careful about. We must always be on the watch, because the devil will oppose any primary position given to the scriptures of truth. May we learn from this. May we have a desire for the word of God. And may we stand by the help of God against those who will oppose it. And may, by God's grace, by the power of Christ, may we have the victory. May the Lord bless his word this afternoon for his name's sake. Let us pray.